Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of the Tales of an African Princess in America. My name is Ozzy. Today I'm going to talk to you about something that is pretty universal. Everyone at some point feels it, and I'll just be telling you about how I dealt with it when I encountered it. And it was just being homesick. The very first couple of years when I moved to America, I was homesick a lot. And I know a lot of you have been homesick at one point or another. And today I'm going to give you my own personal experience of being homesick and what I did to feel better in a minute. So homesickness is just, the feeling of distress. Every time you think about, the fact that you're away from home, it just means that you're really missing home and you start to feel really sad and really depressed. And, sometimes it makes you want to cry, but not all the time. It's just that feeling of sadness every time you think about home. And for me, I did feel homesick a lot, especially in the very first couple of years after I moved to the U.S. You know, weekends, I would feel really, really homesick. You know, every time I had, free time, basically, I would be homesick. It wouldn't happen as much during the week because I had too much to do. And I was just, couldn't think about that. But during the weekend, I had more time and I was just feeling bad. So there are things that I did. My homesickness was pretty mild. I'll feel sad for maybe a couple hours, I'll do something and I'll feel better. And so I'm going to share the things that I did to feel better. So it wasn't like I didn't have family in the U.S. I did have family in the U.S. I had sisters in the U.S. But when I moved to the U.S., I moved to California, which is pretty much far from everywhere that I knew, people. My sisters lived on the East Coast. Here I was on the West Coast. And it's not like I could visit them every time. A lot of times people get online and ask me, oh, how's your sister today? Have you seen her? I know you're seeing her all the time. But no, I'm not seeing her all the time because why? It's far away. Every time I have to visit my sisters, I have to get on a plane. It's expensive. I can't do all that all the time. So pretty much the way that I speak to people on the phone, long distance calls, is kind of the same way that I speak to my sisters, even though we're still in the same country. One of the things that I did that helped initially was just long distance calls. I realized that calls to Nigeria, where I'm from, would cost a lot. Now, the calling cards don't cost too much, if you buy them maybe a few times, but over time, because I was always on the phone, long calls, always missing home, it just added up. And I was like, I have to find another way to deal with this homesickness. I cannot keep calling home this much. And so there were other apps like for texting and things like that, but the time difference was crazy. So the times when I'm homesick, sometimes there's no one online from home, I had to figure out another way, right? Another thing was that I started planning trips, the first couple of years. I think I went to Nigeria for Christmas the first couple of years. But that's expensive. A trip to Nigeria from California would easily cost between $1,500 to $2,000. And because I'm not spending too much time at home, I'd probably spend a week or two, that got pretty expensive. So I was like, okay, I have to think of another way. Even a trip to visit family in the U.S., I couldn't do that all the time because of school. And so it's just crazy. I had to figure out other ways to deal with being homesick. And so by far, the ways that worked for me were just things that I brought from home, basically. So the first thing I did was I surrounded myself with memories from home. In my room, my space, I had pictures from home, my family, my friends, mostly my family. I had these pictures, all over the walls, and just decorated my room with pictures. And every time I would feel homesick, I would just look at one of them and somehow I'd feel a little bit better. Another thing that really worked all the time was food. So I have comfort food, which is abacha. And abacha is just cassava flakes, basically, you know, but cassava flakes, dry cassava flakes. So I would put it in water and I would just eat that. And I always had a stash of that. I always had a stash of abacha because it just made me feel better. So my mom knew that every time someone was coming to the US, you know, she would send a ton of that for my sisters and I, and we'll split it, and we all liked it. So it was something that I always had to have. So food is a major thing. Like every time I taste Nigerian food, I'm like, oh, yes, I feel like I'm home. Movies did it for me. Movies, Nigerian movies. Oh my goodness. I completely immerse myself in watching Nollywood movies. Nollywood movies are a Nigerian version of Hollywood movies. they're really... But when I was in Nigeria, I did not really watch a ton of Nigerian movies. But for some reason, when I moved to the US, I just... It had a higher appeal to me. And I was always watching Nigerian movies. And so I found the really great sites that, you know, I could watch free movies. And then I would watch that on the weekends, or, you know, and time would just fly. And that feeling of loneliness would just disappear. There were times when I watched a ton of YouTube movies. After that, I figured out, okay, the free movies are not really the best movies. So I subscribed to a couple websites where you could watch, you know, newer movies for a premium fee, I guess. And, you know, I watched a ton of Nigerian movies. There was a time that a colleague at work at my lab actually asked me for a list of Nigerian movies because he really wanted to get into it, because I was always talking about it. Another thing that I enjoy is just Nigerian music. So Flavor is my favorite artist, or was my favorite artist the first couple of years. So I would listen to a ton of music by Nigerian artist Flavor and just dance. You know, I used to love dancing in my room. And so those are the things that I did to help combat my homesickness. I would watch a ton of Nigerian movies, listen to Nigerian music. I would surround myself with memories from home, pictures, things like that. I would, you know, I had comfort food, which was abacha from Nigeria, which is just dry corn flakes. No, not corn. Cassava flakes. So I would put that in water and just eat it. It was, one time my friend was like, can I try that? And I gave it to her. She's like, it doesn't taste like much. I was like, yeah, but I really like it. So these are the things that I did. You know, once you move to the US, you know, you think that you would immediately make friends from all the cultures and become friends with people from everywhere. For me, that was not the case. Basically, I moved to California to my grad program. And one thing I quickly realized was that people tend to move in packs. So there are a lot of Asians, you know, walking around together, a lot of African Americans walking around together, there are a lot of Caucasians walking around together, and then there are Africans who, you know, walk around together on campus. And I think people are most comfortable at first with their own culture and ethnicity. You know, for me, the fact that I was introverted didn't help too much because I like to be on my own. It took me a while to, you know, really find someone that I could spend time with and just be myself. So that took a while. So while all this was happening, I was watching my Nigerian movies in my room, going to classes, struggling because the first couple of years were just a struggle with my schoolwork and just getting, you know, acquainted with everything. So that was pretty much it for me. Now, someone asked me a question on Instagram. The question is, so tell me about your daily commute and how easy it was for you to move around when you first relocated. So one thing that helped was that I moved into the dorm. That helped a lot. So all through my elementary school, high school, college, I went to school from home. And so moving into the dorm was like a huge, like a different thing for me. I wasn't used to that life, but I had to figure it out. But one thing I would say is if you're new to a place, like if you're planning to go to grad school or college or whatever, I guess for the first year, I would say you should live in the dorm, especially if you're moving internationally. Like move into the dorm on campus and just get a feel for you know, the surrounding city. And then once you have a feel for that, you can move off campus, because there are so many new things, there's so many moving parts. You want to feel at home before you start taking, you know, start trying to figure out transport and all those things. So for me, I lived on campus from my dorm to my lab to my classes. You know, there was a little campus store where we could buy groceries. Even church was within walking distance, and that just helped, because the first year I wasn't ready to buy a car. I didn't even know how to drive. So that really just helped me get acquainted with everything. And then once I was ready to start driving, I started saving and eventually got a car. Another thing is the transport system is not as great as other places, like I've heard. You know, I've heard that, I've never been to the UK, but I've heard that in the UK, the transport system is amazing. Well, in the US, or where I live, it's not that amazing. So, for instance, if you want to go to the mall, you have to catch the bus. So, going to the mall would probably be like 15 minutes if you had your own car. But if you did not have your car, you know, you'd have to factor in the bus times. And once you got on the bus had multiple stops. So, a 15-minute trip with a car would take 45 minutes easily on a bus. So these are things that you have to factor in. And sometimes you want to go to residential areas. They don't have bus stops right in front of people's houses. You know, the bus would stop you, or would take the bus and drop off somewhere that is quite a distance from where you're going, and you'd have to walk the rest of the way. So it's not very convenient for the public transport system, I would say, in my opinion. And if you want to be on time, you know, you'd have to really, really plan, constantly planning your life. So I would say that a car in America is not a luxury. A car is definitely a necessity. You need a car, period. So there are people that get around without cars, you know, carpool with friends and things like that. Well, that works too. It's just sometimes you go out with friends. Most times when I go with friends, I'm ready to leave. They're not. They're still having fun at the party or whatever. And because I carpooled with them, I have to wait for them. You know, there's no really little or no independence in hitching a ride, you know. So, yeah, getting a car is definitely, you know, necessary. So, yes. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I hope you learned a few things. If you're planning to move to somewhere really far from home, I hope you learned that you need to take memories with you. You know, you might find yourself craving for certain Nigerian food like I did. You can get into Nigerian movies. For me, that was actually the thing that worked the most, just watching Nigerian movies. Now I don't watch them as much as I did before, because I guess now I'm not as homesick as I was before. I still feel like homesick, but not that bad. So I only watch Nigerian movies maybe once in a week on the weekends. I still watch Nigerian movies, but not as much. Definitely you can plan trips to go see family. And then you can call, you know, these are things that you can do, or things that I did that work for me. And I know if you think of these things, you know, they could work for you as well. If you have other ways of coping with being homesick, please follow me on my Instagram page, The Tales of an African Princess, and just leave me a comment on my latest post about how you're dealing with just being away from home. If there are things that work for you, you know, other people could, gain from such experience, that would be great. So if there are things that work for you, please leave a comment, or you could just call in, use the Anchor app, and just tell us about things that work for you. So until our very next episode, have a great rest of the week. Bye-bye.
Do you know that about one in every three people in the United States listen to at least one podcast every month? That's millions of people listening. And do you also know that every month, thousands of podcast listeners listen to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast? Well, do you have a business, service, or event that you would love others to hear about? Then look no further. To promote your services on the podcast, send an email to talesbydrozy@gmail.com today. Or you can visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com.